Welcome everybody to this fifth in our series, Coffee and Uchiokeke, beautiful conversations about Uchiokeke and the Uchiokeke legacy with our various wonderful guests. It's a beautiful series. I'm so excited to be your host, and my name is Tamsin Lovell. I'm the founder and CEO of Artfundi. I have with me on the stage today Selma Uchiokeke, daughter of the late Christopher Uchiokeke. And we're here there's kind of an empty chair on the stage with us as well, on this virtual stage, and that would have been filled by Selma's sister, Ijeoma Uchiokeke. And today, it's the eve of, tomorrow would have been a year since Ijeoma has passed, and since we lost a remarkable soul. Ijeoma's vibrant spirit, though, lives on through her incredible contributions as a mother, a family member, a devoted sister, an art curator, a board member to many arts organizations, and a beacon of inspiration to all of us who knew her. And we remember so many things about Ijeoma: her infectious laughter, her unwavering dedication, and the profound impact that she left on the arts community. Ijeoma is forever in our thoughts. So it's kind of a sad conversation today, but I hope a one in which we are honoring a beautiful soul that needs to be remembered. And of course, Ijeoma has a big place in, a major place in the Uchiokeke legacy. It was her, a big part of her life, as the CEO of Asele Institute and the co-director with Selma of the Uchiokeke legacy. She was very passionately building and creating this work that we're now continuing in her absence. And so today is a special day to remember, to honor, and to talk about Ijeoma, and I guess what she would be feeling now a year later about the Uchiokeke legacy and the progress we're making on the work that she started. So Selma, perhaps for the audience, would you introduce your sister to them as one of the people who knows her the best or the closest? Tell us a bit about the person that Ijeoma Uchiokeke was.
Ijeoma Lauren Uchiokeke, better known to most people simply as Ijeoma or Ije, was the second daughter of Uchiokeke. She was the one that went on to study fine arts and built a career throughout her lifetime in the arts. A lot of people would know Ijeoma to be that gentle person that got along with practically anybody, irrespective of gender, race, what part of the world you would come from, what social status. She was that quintessential bridge builder. And a lot of people remember her for her ability to listen. I think that was one of her most endearing qualities, and she was always fiercely loyal. We are proud that she went ahead to build such an outstanding career in her area of choice, which happens mostly to be art management. And I remember her especially, apart from being my little sister, for being that person who I did every single thing with, including continuing the legacy work of her father. I don't know, Tamsin, if that's a good enough introduction.
Yes, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I remember that kindness that you speak about. Even in her voice, she had a beautiful, warm, soft voice. Strong, but kind. That generosity of spirit that she had shone through in her whole demeanor and in the way that she spoke to people, the way, as you said, she listened to people. Mm-hmm. And I think that aspect of her personality certainly touched me, and I'm sure it touched countless people's lives.
Had tolerance.
And of course,
for people, you know, her ability to accommodate. These are some of the styling qualities that she had that enabled her to build a formidable network in the creative circles.
She does have this great network. I was chatting to somebody. We're busy working on a, I'm helping them with a grant application for another poetry festival. But she said, we have a mutual friend, Ijeoma Uchiokeke, and she was on the board. And the lady I'm referring to is Georgina Thompson, and she was the director of the Dance Umbrella in Johannesburg, and Ijeoma was on her board. And she just smiled when she mentioned Ijeoma's name and told me, as so many other people that ever speak about Ijeoma, it's always just with this smile and warmth and fondness. I think that's a great legacy to leave, that people remember you so beautifully. Selma, that quality that you mentioned of tolerance and being able to accommodate people, it strikes me that that's a quality that you have as well. And listening to previous conversations during this series, it came through again and again as a quality that your father was really strong in. He was open to so many people. He had different points of view. He was a listener, and he traveled widely. He was interested in so many different people's points of view. And I'm guessing he raised both Ijeoma and yourself in to have these qualities. And it's such a beautiful thing. Do you want to share any, can you remember, do you remember specifically incidences when your father taught you these qualities, or how did they come about?
I would say that these kinds of qualities are probably inert, probably inherited. I think so. But just to take us a few steps back, Ijeoma and myself were never exactly the very same type of people. She was a lot more tolerant than myself, certainly. What we all shared in common was that openness of mind, which characterized our father. And I believe that we probably got that, through the bloodline. And then again, probably through training, because we were basically brought up to have an open mind. If anybody would go back to some of the conversations we've had, especially that first one I had with Lucinda, that talks about the man. I think it will give a little bit more interesting inroad into what I'm talking about. it was a natural thing because it wasn't exactly the same for everybody in that sense. Some of us would be more of listeners and some would be more of talkers. But one thing that I find, even with my two brothers, is that broadness of mind, that readiness to accept other people's views, even if that is not exactly your own view. I mean, that knowledge that every view is legitimate on its own, you know, and everybody has a right to their view, to their viewpoint. And maybe just living around a man like our father, not by any, if it was a deliberate training on his part, we wouldn't know, because, you know, I've also mentioned that most of his type of mentoring was done, you know, without you even knowing that that was what he was doing, both with his students and with his friends and family. It was just about the same thing. You wouldn't know what was happening, you know. But I can say categorically that staying around him and seeing how he got along with all kinds of diverse people, you know, how he never had, and this is literally, never had any criticism about a person's viewpoint, a person's culture, a person's character, you know, not those kinds of things. He never had any criticism about those kinds of things. We were basically brought up in an environment of live and let live, so to speak. And so maybe that also impacted on us in ways we didn't know.
I would imagine it did. It's a kind of freedom. Because when you have the opposite effect, and I was fortunate I had a similar open-mindedness in my family setting. But if you have the opposite, if you're constantly hitting criticisms, even if they're pointed at other people, they're there to guide you, right? Every time a parent says, oh, I don't approve of this or that or the other, it's a way of guiding you. It narrows your path and it narrows your mind. And I'm so glad I didn't have that, and you clearly didn't. You clearly had this beautiful freedom, this open mind from your father. And I wonder if being an artist makes you more inclined that way, or if it's more of a personality thing. It's interesting.
It's really interesting, and it's difficult even to be completely sure. Because I mean, I could say if I look at my father and his siblings, there are certain similarities and certain differences. But again, by far, he was the most broad-minded of the lot. He still has two siblings alive today, out of seven, including himself. But, you know, he was the most broad-minded. I mean, if we had to live with any other of his siblings, maybe his most junior sister, maybe to an extent, you know, you would find that there would be many more preconceived notions and, you know, things have to be done this way, just this way, and such things that he didn't have. And, you know, so growing up around him, I rather think that there was this feeling like we had too much freedom. And I remember him making a comment and saying, because it was like we had so much freedom and we did what we wanted to do. And then there was that concern if we were going to amount to anything. You know, because you know, you just get to do what you want to do when you want to do it, in a sense, You know, I'm looking at it from the outside, although it wasn't exactly that way, but that's how it looked like, you know. So it was like, and he made a comment to me and he said he doesn't know why. You know, they think that we won't be able to do things, you know. And I remember then I was just wrapping up my secondary school education, and, you know, and I just heard that and I just packed it somewhere. I didn't even make a comment. But he was just thinking aloud and he made that comment, you know, and it all had to do with his style.
Yes, his
style of bringing up kids was that free. Was like I mentioned before, was like he didn't even treat anybody like a child per se, and so you just had to take responsibility for your decisions early enough, and you know, and take the consequences of it, you know, which I think freed him also to get on with his own stuff. But you know, but that was a kind of environment, you know. So looking at it from the outside, it may look like a little bit chaotic, you know, but not knowing that the consequence of any action had to be borne by that person. So you can imagine, if you tried something and you the consequence wasn't something you wanted to deal with, then you wouldn't do it again, isn't it? Nobody would tell you.
did his siblings find him fascinating?
That was the other thing. His siblings absolutely loved him. Because of those same qualities that we've talked about with Ijoma.
He's so different.
He was, you know, he was a connector. You know, he was an enabler. And that is what I came to find out exactly what Ijoma was. Because
she was very much the
diverse people. I mean, I keep hearing of people, but you know, some of them I didn't quite have anything to do with them until when she passed. And it was like a window completely into her life that I hadn't even really taken note of all that time. You know, that ability to connect with people, you know, how important people hold you. You know, because you hold them to be important also. It was something like that also happened when my father passed on. But I lived with him and I saw when he was never like, you know, even when it was like, oh, maybe somebody had done something wrong to him in the sense of, you know, people that were within his creative circle. Mm-mm. He only saw the positive side. And that is Ijoma for you.
Yes, indeed, it really was. She was a remarkable woman. Mm. Let's speak a bit about her achievements, because she was a very accomplished leader and also a very creative leader. And she was a brilliant curator. Mm. And she contributed so much to the art industry, the art world, forming a collaborator, contributor to many boards. Can you tell us a bit about that kind of dedication that she had to all her endeavors?
Now, that kind of dedication is definitely something that we grew up in. Of course, some people will be able to do it better than others, you know, if they are naturally equipped to do such things. But Ijoma was the little sister. She was the one that when she was small, I keep hearing this story from my mom, how she had, I think it was measles, and then that weakened her. And, you know, so she was a bit fragile growing up. And it is really amazing because most people would not imagine how far she could go. But she always was somebody that wanted to do things as perfectly as she could. She was always somebody that would stay the course. She was always somebody that wanted to share her knowledge and learn from other people. And she was always somebody that was dedicated to a course. And I'm glad that I was able to walk on our father's legacy together with her.
She was
opened a whole lot of her personality to me that I would have probably taken for granted.
Tell us a bit about that. The two of you coming together and deciding to build this Uchiokeke legacy, and how you went about that work together as two sisters.
It's really been a long journey, starting from when our father was still very much on the job himself. I remember I finished secondary school, and I never discussed any of this with Ijeoma. I finished my secondary school and I was waiting to get into college. And then I volunteered myself to go with him for meetings, you know, I act as his PA. You know, he was building up the Astale Institute and, you know, working on members and some classified groups that were like almost like patrons of the it was almost like a club, you know. And so they were having meetings with all these big wigs that, you know, I mean, I knew them as family friends, as family. And, you know, I just said, okay, I'll follow you. And you had to travel to Nemo then, because he was already building the institute at that time. I just wanted to have something doing. But, you know, I offered. He didn't ask me, you know. And so all I noticed that all those men, where they felt so proud of me, because most of them had known me when I was a baby. You know, I was so proud that I would volunteer for such a thing, and I took it very seriously, and I just took notes, you know, that kind of thing. That was how it started off for me. Of course, apart from that, we were always around the whole frenzy of the evolution of the Soka, the Uli movement in the Soka, and, you know, all the artists and all the people that came in and out from all over the world, you know, the kind of that period bursting with activity. So, you know, maybe that also helped to shape us. And myself and Ijeoma, we had always been close, you know, because she was right behind me. But it wasn't even something I ever thought about, really. I was the senior one and she was the junior one. And, you know, somehow we just clicked somehow, you know, because it doesn't always click that way. There were some things we loved in common. I remember we had this particular interest in interior decoration. We always had shared rooms. And so, you know, we would always want to change the arrangement of our room and this and that, you know, just like that. We're doing these things together. And I went off to secondary school before her, and then she went to secondary school, and I got into college before her also. And I mean, I'm almost 3 years older than her. And she came in afterwards. But, you know, I was always somehow, with hindsight, in a sense, she looked up to me, in a sense. And in a sense, maybe she would go towards what I was going towards, you know, or possibly because we just had the same interests anyway, somehow, you know. It wasn't anything that was discussed. It just happened to gel that way. And so there we started off the journey. Well, my dad had wanted to, he had actually filled the forms, the entrance forms for me to go and study architecture in university. And I got it when I was in secondary school. I just tore it and got another form. And I decided I wanted to do theater arts, dramatic arts. And, you know, all he asked me was, well, why do you want to do that? And I said, well, because I don't know what I would like to do in the arts yet. So I just want, you know, a kind of exposure to all the different aspects. I knew definitely I was into the creative sector, but I hadn't decided what. So I could see he nodded and thought, oh, that's a good idea. But Ijeoma went into the arts apparently she'd always loved it. And she wasn't the strongest in terms of art. Ironically, my brother, the first one, Chuma, would most likely be the strongest, followed by me. I mean, I was somebody that when I was 4 years old, you know, I doodled over paper and my dad put it in for a competition and I won the first prize. But I didn't go to art, you know, but Ijeoma did. And if there's somebody that became an encyclopedia of each Uchokeke, that is Ijeoma for you. Apparently, you know, she absolutely loved his art. Absolutely. She studied him. Of course, she had studied him in school when she was studying art. You know, but she had real, I would say, mad love for his type of art.
She must have been so proud when the school, he was on the curriculum and she was like, that's my...
was expecting her to be the strong one in that direction. But, you know, and she went into it because that was her passion. And I didn't even quite realize until when we started working on the legacy project. Because, I mean, automatically, anything that had to do with art, I would simply move it towards her, you know. After my dad had fallen sick and was not quite, you know, so I'll push to her and I would, you know, accept her decision because she was in that sector. Even if I grew up in the sector, but she was actively in that sector. So I left her to advise.
Thinking about her really does remind us about the power of passion and purpose.
And what would passion and purpose? Yeah.
And if you think about the work that she had begun in terms of the Uchiokeke legacy that we're continuing, that you're continuing and we're supporting you in, what would do you think she would be thinking of? Now, what do you think her advice to us would be a year on with regard to that?
Well, before I answer that question,
with so much dedication and love.
Yeah, before I answer that question, I'd like to just, you know, expound a little bit on how myself and Ijeoma worked together and the two completed the act. And so it was a beautiful flow. Like you start a sentence and somebody finishes it and it could be from any side. That was the beauty of it, you know? So we depended completely on each other and respected each other's expertise, respected each other's past experiences and had that commonness of background that bound us together, you know? And had that understanding of what we were to do because Uchiokeke had left his blueprint anyway and we were there. We grew up with him, you know? So it was so total that if today we are able to move a little bit, it will be because that foundation was right. If you remember when Ijeoma passed on, we didn't stop for one day, even if we had to be a little bit slower. But that was simply because we had managed to get it to that point together. What would Ijeoma say today? I think I know that she'll be happy that we're continuing in that direction.
I feel like her spirit is certainly continuing to guide the endeavors of the Uchiokeke legacy.
Absolutely.
And her absence is most deeply felt, especially will be tomorrow, but her impact continues.
I think the beauty of her absence is that were able to continue the work. I think if we were not able to continue the work that she had put in so much for, it would have been a much blacker hole. But the light in the horizon is that her passion is being continued, and being continued in the way that she would have definitely approved.
She had so much joy as well in the work.
Exactly. It was a journey of, you know, self-discovery for both of us and for everyone else that gets involved. You know, a personal experience for every single person, and it's different for each person. You know, an exciting journey, and, you know, and I'm so glad that she was able to partake in this journey, you know, which is what she had been doing for so long, because she went and studied art, and then she continued building a career in the art. And, you know, one of the first people to promote Uchokeke's works, you know, actively was Ijeoma herself after she finished college. So like you talk, like we talk about in Engineer Shilon, and how did he get Uchokeke's works? It's through Ijeoma, you know. So it's been a long journey, and it's only right that she was able to, you know, feed on her passion and go as far as she could possibly go, you know. And I'm very sure that she was fulfilled in that way.
And as we think about her memory, it reminds us to, with the joy that she had in her life and in people and in the work that she did, it reminds us to cherish every moment and to continue the work that she held so dear. And we wish Ijeoma to rest in peace and know that she is still much loved and deeply missed.
The joy she had. And that is one thing, that is one reason why we have never thought of her in darkness or even mourning. No. Because she loved life, and she was always joyful. There was nobody that could have met her that wouldn't have noticed that about her. I think that was one of the most striking things about her. And in remembering her, we like to, you know, feed off that joy. We like to project her with that exuberance that she had in life. We don't ever want her to be cloaked in darkness, you know. And you know, we would rather have that joy, you know, just brimming over the way she always had it in her lifetime.
Indeed, her light does shine on.
I think, you know, it's funny how things happen, but really, you know, I think this is the right thing we're supposed to do anyway.
Yes, it is funny, isn't it?
Yeah, but even if we had had Bruce Onabebeya there, we would have definitely have to mention Ijeoma, because, you know, tomorrow is her anniversary.
Yes. So.
But I think it's good, this, and let's see, if the recording isn't okay, then we redo it. It's good to have it there. It's just the right thing to do.
It is indeed. We'll have this lovely recording, and Bruce.
On Monday we're doing. Yes, I think we definitely have to do more of this after September. Maybe like once in a month. You know, it has a lot of advantages. You know, bringing in people. You know, and gradually we'll start building our audiences also for the events.
Yes, it does take time. Bruce Mudiari said they will come back.
Okay.
Set up properly on the September 14th. So we will.
Is that possible to do it then?
Yes, so they will do this same thing on September the 14th. We'll keep it with them. We'll do it with them on September the 14th.
Okay, because we can do it on that day and later post it, right?
Yes.
Or what? Uh-huh. Because you already have this thing. That's fine. And you know, somebody that would definitely want to do something is Dimas Moko.
Yes, and he would be amazing because he's also yes.
Exactly. He will be.
Let's do that. It'll be.
There's still several people that would want. That's why it's good for us to keep doing it. I think it has so many advantages. It will keep us in view of people, help us build content that can be used in other ways on other channels, help drive traffic to the site, you know.
Yeah.
So yes, and these are all things we need to do right now.
Yes, exactly. Okay, perfect.
If I may as well, sorry to interrupt. Tamsin and I were talking, and it actually lines up so well with Bruce coming on the 14th, because that's when we'll be in the midst of the generative AI stuff, and it's a collaborative thing. So the fact that we'll be speaking with a true, an original collaborator, and speaking about Zaraya and all of that, it's, you know, the peak of their collaboration. So it will fit in quite nicely.
Okay. So
that's it.
Perfect.
Maybe things happen the way they are meant to happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was so lovely to listen to, you guys. Thank you for that.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's so good to hear about Ijeoma in such a way.
Yeah. And Ijeoma was an amazing girl. When do you think we can put out the social across the social media for her? When can we do that?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow?
Yes, Michelle is here with us. When would you like?
Oh, Michelle.
Have you selected from the ones I sent you, Selma, which ones you would like us to use?
Oh, no, I didn't select anything. I just left it to you guys.
Okay.
Just anything. Yeah.
We'll maybe pick a couple of different ones.
Yes. But let everything, let each one be more like happy. That joy is what we want to project more, not really the grief. Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
Yes, memorial rather than,
Mm-hmm. We still want to celebrate her. We still want her light to shine. I mean, that's what we said in September when we took off. Because we just started, we just engaged at Fundi in August, and then she was gone in September, 1st of September. So it wasn't even up to a month, you know?
No, exactly.
Yes, but then we said, let's make sure we continue the work in her name. So, and that's exactly what has carried us through, because we haven't allowed it to dampen, and it has been a beautiful experience going on, you know? And making her life even more purposeful by so doing. Imagine if everything had fallen apart because she died. It would have been So
I agree.
This is it. And we do feel her presence somehow, you know. If she was here, I'm sure this is exactly what we'll be doing anyway. So we go on.
How do you think, I don't know if this was us, I was listening, but things got noisy in my house. How do you think she would feel about everything that we've done and where the project has gone?
Everything has gone exactly in the direction she would want it to go. Because you see, what's the thing was that when we picked on Tamsin at Fundi, we already got a like spirit. So that was it. You know, we don't have all the answers to anything. So we are, you know, also taking it one step at a time, you know, but there's nothing like when it flows. Because if it flows, then you just move together. She would have done it exactly like this also.
Yeah.
She would have done it exactly like this also. This is where we would be anyway. She's just not physically here. This is where we would be. We couldn't have done it any differently from what we've been doing. So far, I should have been quite excited to see the website up. Would have been very happy about, you know, the launch programs, you know, the NFT thing. I mean, we never even discussed that with her. I should have been very happy, but I know that when she was thinking of a 2020 project, you know, before the COVID, when that particular exhibition was supposed to start in South Africa, go to Germany, and then come to Nigeria, you know, that didn't happen until last year, but starting from Germany, you know, that it ended up in 2022. But then she had thought about some curated exhibition, you know. There was one, I think she's a Kenyan lady. She hadn't met you by then, Tamsin. It's a Kenyan lady that does such things. And she was, you know, and for that one, because, you know, what we were thinking about was for that her project, she was thinking more like that's another thing that's very similar to what we're doing. She wanted, and you know, we didn't discuss it, Tamsin, but what she had conceptualized was a kind of conversation with artists that hadn't known Uchiokeke, you know, and see how he resonates for them today.
Right.
She had in mind that we were going to select. In fact, she started putting those things together, selecting people that would participate, you know, in that conversation, you know, and it was also supposed to be multi, how do I put it? Different parts, different aspects of the creative arts, not just the fine and applied one. And she had also thought of also in the process, because that Kenyan lady, I think she's Kenyan, you know, I would still try to look for her email address, would also record the process of producing those works that are in dialogue with Uchiokeke, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, she wanted to start it off that was her plan for South Africa, for the exhibition in South Africa. So did she discuss that with you, Tamsin?
No, she didn't, but
look how we ended up finding our way all the way back there. This is exactly what we're doing. Yeah. You know, and then we didn't have a website, so we weren't even thinking of website. I don't know. You know, those people were going to get that done for us, and then we would. I don't know how that was going to happen, because we weren't even talking about a website back then. We didn't have a budget for that then. But that is exactly what we're doing, basically. And, you know, it just goes to show how if something is right, then it happens. You know,
yes.
Because I didn't tell you anything. You know, basically also the way we work, we also want to get your own views. We also want to get what you're thinking. I mean, that's why we're partnering. So we don't have to limit ourselves to, you know, the little we know. So we work together and we still ended up right there.
Yes.
So, everything we are doing is what Ijeoma would have been very excited about, very happy about the direction we are going. Happy to take your assistance technically, because none of us is you know, proficient in that direction, you know. Your consultation and all that, and have the patience, just like I have. I mean, I think this is out of four siblings, at least three are like that, you know. But it came out strongest in both myself and her, because our mother is actually a different kettle of fish altogether. But, you know, but Ijeoma is the one that is more, which is ridiculous, because they would have said I was more like my dad, but she is much more, you know, in terms of character. So, and ironically, I didn't even realize it all those years until when she was gone, you know, to the extent. But I knew she was the right person to be the face of the legacy, you know, because she was proficient in that field. She had built her networks in that field. She had experience and she had the passion, you know. So, you know, but so what I did mostly was to work on the structures and then to sort of guide her, because I have more managerial skills than she does, than she did. So guide her a little bit, but then, you know, she was very fast. And, you know, guidance from our point of view is never like holding anybody's hands. So she has to swim by herself anyway.
Mm.
Yeah. So I know we're doing the right thing. And that was why myself and her fought that we must continue with you. We must work with you. Mm. So it's just right. You know, if you want to do work, if you want to work with someone, you easily get a gut feeling or something, you know yeah. when it's right. Yes. And
it actually works like this.
Mm, only works. Yeah. I'm very sure that by the end of the year, we'll see just how much we've done. You know, even now, it looks like it's nothing, but it's a whole lot. I know how myself and Jemma were walking. On the outside, it looked like we weren't doing anything. But, you know, we walked to the point where she went and we were able to continue.
Yes.
That's a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It may not seem like anything, but it's a whole lot.
Yes, things take time to build up and put in place.
Yes. And if you have the people that don't have that like mindset of having the patience to wait for the build-up.
Yes, you're quite right.
That wouldn't be patient at all. The elder of my two brothers and... brothers are not as patient as myself and each other at all. That is why the legacy, the continuation of the legacy was actually vested in us. You know, it was just a natural thing for us to take it up, for us to be passionate about it, and for us to, you know, run with it. Now that she's not there, there's some parts of it that she was handling that I have to like improve myself on. To work better. But the good thing is, you know, most of what we are going to do is going to be with Atfundi, really. You know, and you know that
we're so blessed.
A very good partnership. And you know, and the beauty of it all is the whole team, you see? You know, the whole team. Like, we're see all... how. Ayla and I are getting along so well, you know, so much, but every time she gets anything done, I can see that she's fully aligned. Yeah. You know, the little time we had with, I think it was Steve.
Yes.
You know, it was, so you just know you're in the right community.
Community is, it's going to be interesting. Yes, it's going to be so interesting to see how we build this community of around Uchukeke legacy.
I'm very sure we will.
I just pray that
God gives us the life to do it.
Yeah,
you know that's it. I'm very sure we will. You know, and now you know. I mean, it was with Ijoma gone and me being there, it was still possible to continue the work. So we also have that. I mean, when it was two of us, we were already like, how long do we have to do this? How long do we have to get this to a point where others can go on, you know? Right? So so now we have this race between us now to get it to that point also where it can be more seamless.
Yeah.
Like if anything were to happen to me today, it should be able to go on, but we have to get into that stage. We're able to go on because I was there with Ijoma shoulder to shoulder and able to continue and continue from the point where she had brought in those people that would help us, you see, and continue with those people, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But what if? So these are some of the things, you know. So each time when we're working, we're also working with passion, but also working with strategy so that, you know, and it's much the same thing that will be happening with Atfundi. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of the progress you're making. And it's also well deserved because you put in the work and, you know, I will also look back in a couple of years and we'll see Atfundi.
Yes.
I know these guys. You know? So so that's it. So well going together. Well done. Well done.
Yes. Onwards and upwards. Thank you.
It's been rough on all of us. It's been a lot of work. It's been, you know, but it has been completely enjoyable. I hope everybody has enjoyed it too.
Yes, we do. We love working with you, Salma, in particular.
It's been a lot of work. Well done. I really appreciate all the effort and the long nights and everything, you know.
Thank you.
You just keep getting better and better. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Salma. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And
if I may, before we go, Arike is here again.
Yes.
And
yes,
he's
trying to get in.
Hello, Arike.
Hi.
So,
can you hear me? Okay. So.
Thank you so much. You know, I didn't see you. I wasn't sure you were the one. Arike, did you get a lot of the conversation?
Just the end bit. It was just the end bit. I actually couldn't get it. It was my wife that patiently went through the whole thing and got me on board. I just couldn't figure out to navigate it and all that stuff. But I got the bit about, you know, about 5 minutes of the last discussion. Yeah, and so I got a feel of what the conversation was on.
It'll be good to hear your voice, because, you know, last week he was here and he had that sound issue, remember, Ayla? And while we were on stage, he was calling me. Of course, I couldn't pick the call at that time, so I just sent him. He said he couldn't get in with the old link. Naturally, you know, we had sent you the bulk message via your email, but I didn't bother to send him anything on his WhatsApp or to send him directly, so maybe he missed it. So I had to now copy that email message to him, and that's how he was able to get in. So it probably took him a little bit of time, but he had wanted to say a few words last week, so I think this week he really must. Arike, we had to change the topic, you know, because Uncle Bruce Onobrebeya was not able to come in last minute, but that is a blessing in its own. He will come at a later date, but, you know, tomorrow is Ijoma's anniversary, so we decided to use this session to talk, to reminisce about her. So, are you recording, Ayla?
I am, yes. I'm still recording.
So, Arike, if you have any words on Ijoma, please.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Ijoma was a very fun person, and we had lots of laugh times together. I mean, we had these jokes that we all used to share, you know. Remember, oh, baby, you know, like when, back in Nigeria, the fun times she used to have and the jokes. She was a very jovial person. And, there was no dull moment around her. She was just effervescent, you know. She was just live wire. Yeah, that's the word to use. And she was just lovable. Just couldn't help but love her, you know. And and we had lots of dreams together. I remember when I got to see how much she was doing with your dad's legacy, I was so impressed, you know. And one of the things we talked about, if you remember, Salma, was because I never got to see your dad in real life, which was just a shame because of how close we were. I was to your family. I was like, how come I never got to see your dad? But then I guess that was just the irony of life. Yeah. You know. But then when I now got to see his works, I was so dazed. They were like, these are very powerful, very, very powerful works, you know, the use of colors, they were so strong. I mean, they were really, really, they really gripped me. And it got me thinking, which was one of the things I shared with Ijoma. Remember, when I talked about how it could actually influence film direction, you know, cinematography, you know, movies and all that stuff. And that's one thing I still want to explore. I want to explore because when I got to learn about his philosophy of synthesis, it all made sense to me, how sophisticated he was, how very advanced he was about, you know, the place of his art in the human experience, and how it wasn't meant to be dated, but it was meant to be current, you know, forever trendy, forever current. And one of the things about great art is always current, it's always trendy, it's always makes a comment on the present, you know? So, I remember these are things I discussed with Ijoma then, and also with you, Salma, about how interesting it could be to explore adapt your dad's art philosophy in cinematography. And I want to see how that turns out, because I think it will be very, very,
Thank you, Reke. Let me do a proper introduction. Sorry, I should have done that first. Myself and Reke studied drama at the University of Nsukka together, and that is when the relationship actually started. And he was a very gifted, I mean, I shouldn't say was, he's a very gifted actor. But, you know, we had productions where you directed, isn't it, Ireke? You know, and I found him very creative, extra passionate, you know. And after school, he went into advertising, but then he moved into film production also. And he's been living in Canada. He relocated from Nigeria. Should be maybe 2015, right?
Or 2016.
So he moved to Canada 2016, and he lives in Canada with his lovely wife and son. And he's, you know, moving to a new place. He had to find his feet and all that, but he's managed to find his way back to cinematography. And so he's had this proposal for a couple years of how to, I mean, he has these interesting ideas about film and, you know, researching into Igbo culture and tying it together with the art direction of Uchiokeke. You know, I told you about this Tamsin, and I was going to send you the pitch deck that he sent.
Yes.
But he's here in person, so he can, and this is what he had discussed with myself and Ijoma, you know, separately, you know, and so he can talk about it right here. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, am I to say anything?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, yeah, okay, so basically that's it. So, you know, of course, remember the topic is about Ijoma, so I just... So basically, it's like I said, in a nutshell, it's just to see how to explore how who could actually synthesize Professor Uchiokeke's philosophy about art into the art direction of a movie, and that's into cinematography. It's still early days yet, and when one goes into production, of course, it's not going to be wholesale, but it's going to be seeing how, like, aspects of maybe scenes, because, well, I don't want to, like, go off track, but then sometimes art could actually provide a vocabulary that could actually help help to express a certain state of being in film. You know, sometimes you watch certain films, like if you watch Taboo, or especially Taboo, where Thomas Hardy talked, you know, there was this, it's on Netflix, if you watch Taboo at one, there are areas where they try to talk about the metaphysical, right? But then they use cliches, like, you know, voodoo cliche. There are certain cliches they use which are found ineffective in trying to convey that certain kind of experience to the viewer. So for me, I'm like, okay, maybe we need to look for different kind of vocabulary, film visual vocabulary, to be able to express a certain kind of state or transition between present day reality and, you know, and a certain spiritual or otherworldly reality, you know. But it's all like up there in the air. So anyway, so basically it's something I'm going to find very interesting to see how I can actually make that happen on screen without it looking like an art film or whatever, you know.
I was talking to Tamsin about this, you know, before you actually sent that pitch deck, which I'm to share with her. I've spoken to her about also sharing it with her, but, you know, we've been busy this month, so I will send that out to her for her to have a look. But I spoke to her about it, and I said, you know, that's one of the ways, because, you know, one of our strategy for the next 3 years is optimizing our visibility, our branding, our reach, you know, without, like you said, making it so obvious also. Because today, I was talking with Tamsin, Ayla, and she said, which I totally agree, that it's little quirky things that people get attracted to today. You know, the smallest thing you can imagine could be what really holds the interest of a wide majority of people. So we don't want to be too obvious and too deliberate about how we do things. You know, we want to, and that was the way Uchokeke worked. Also, he sort of, you know, imbibed you with his idea without your even knowing that it happened. He mentored you without your really realizing, because what he did was nudge you in your own direction, but you know, basically based on his philosophy, and you wouldn't even know. So that is what, you know, we want to continue with. And, you know, interestingly, most of the people here, in fact, everybody here is trained in some aspect or the other of the arts, and has had experience in different aspects of creativity, you know, and then they have also gone technical. So you can imagine the blend, you know. So Tamsin, do you have anything to say?
I'm interested in, and I find it fascinating, this inquiry, I suppose you would call it, that Erica has raised of the visual vocabulary and how it might influence what he's doing in film, because and that idea of what visual vocabulary can bring to a conversation in a different field, in a slightly different field, is quite interesting, because we have a way of thinking about things and telling stories, and we use words a lot. But then somebody like Uchokeke, who spent a lot of time telling stories in pictures or telling stories in other ways, in concept, they bring a greater richness to our understanding of things. And I love that you're exploring that, Erica. So I'm looking forward to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you today.
Lovely. Thanks so much.
We're a little rushed with, you know, getting ready for today. It was like big day, you know, that kind of thing. So I will send it to you. And I also didn't want to like overload you, because I saw that you were extremely busy. So I thought, okay, let me push it like towards the end of the month or to beginning of next month. Yeah, so that, yeah.
Perfect.
But if I send it to you, I mean, you'll have over the weekend to look at it. So that will be nice.
Lovely. Thank you, everyone.
Thank
you. It's been a delightful conversation, Selma.
So, Michelle, will I be able to get the posters? Because I may have to send it to our family WhatsApp group also for my mom to use.
Yes.
Will I get it today?
I think in the morning.
Okay, in the morning. Okay. Morning is good enough, because, you know, you guys are ahead of us anyway. Okay.
Yes.
So that's fine. Yeah. Okay. So what time are you planning to post? For instance.
Sorry, Tamsin, do you want to go there?
No, I don't know the answer. I was going to defer to you.
It won't take long. Michelle and I work pretty quick, so we can go for, would 10 o'clock your side be okay? Is that too late?
From a social media perspective.
Have you thought, from a social media perspective, did you guys really think of what times are best for posting things?
Yeah, so Michelle usually posts in the evenings after people have finished work, and then lunchtime around is a good time because people are on their breaks.
Like something like this, I would have wanted them to wake up to it, you know? Like, I don't know. I would have posted like just a little bit after midnight.
Okay.
But I don't know if that is realistic for you. So if it won't work, then...
Let's do that then. We'll do one tonight and another one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's fine. So if we get the yep. one, I mean, for tonight, please, can I get it?
Yes.
Can I get it? Yeah, so that I can use, I can, you know, because I will have to put it up on my status and all that very yep. early. Yes. And then there's that group, there's a group that has informed for the people that are sort of like involved in Tembi's community, Ijoma's daughter. So I will need to put something there also. Already people are asking what's going to happen tomorrow, and nothing's going to happen apart from these social media posts.
Okay, perfect. We'll send
you. And because we know that we're planning to do something for her, we've already said we want to do just all, you know, joyful, all
yes,
the, you know, that kind of approach. So what we're thinking of is doing something in her name, you know, which we said November is her birth month, so we have programs around her by then, by God's grace. Which reminds me, we still need to write to the museum.
Yes.
Shillong Museum, yeah.
Yes.
So, and then I asked Ayla about the, you know, Ayla, did you send an email to Engineer Shillong?
I did respond to your email there. I meant to CC you guys in, but I forgot. Sorry about that. I'll forward you the email. It was just a quick one, thanking him for coming last week and saying that we really enjoyed it and it was very insightful. And that I'll send him the recording once the edits are complete.
Okay. Thank you. Because yeah. I'll have to, like, on WhatsApp tell him, because I told him that he will likely get the recording today based on how we've been doing things. But, you know, now I need to. But you said in the meeting that you are going to get in touch with him. So I wanted you to get in touch with him first. Yeah. But, you know, he may think it's rude if I don't give him any feedback.
Let him know.
That's why I feedback. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I did respond to your email. Okay. But I think it was maybe while you were traveling. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I've let him know and we'll get that to him as soon as it's complete.
Cool. Thank you very much, Irek. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.
And Michelia, it's a pleasure working with you. Ayla, of course, and dear Tamsin, thank you very much. I see you smiling out of your glasses.
Yes. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy weekend. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.